Today we are crossing the Atlantic to speak to Frederick Schroeder, who is the president of the World Blind Union. Now, we spoke with Frederick a few months ago, but for those of you who didn't hear that interview, Frederick, perhaps you could tell me, first of all, a little bit about the World Blind Union.
Sure. The World Blind Union represents the interests of the estimated 253 million blind and partially sighted people around the world. We have member organizations in about 190 countries and in every continent except Antarctica. So we try very hard to be the representative voice of blind and partially sighted people.
Now, that's a mammoth task, but you do work with sight loss charities and organizations around the world to give a combined voice, I suppose we could say?
That's right. And the issues that we work on through the WBU are issues that are really cross-cutting. So some of our work deals with things that individual country organizations would not be able to address, such as UN treaties, or what we will do is help support common initiatives, for example, providing materials in support of the employment of blind people. So yes, that's how we operate.
I'm sure many of our listeners will be surprised that there is an organization which, I suppose you could say, has the ear or can lobby or debate at a UN level, and that's quite a powerful lever.
It is, and we are a UN recognized non-governmental organization, so that means we have a formal seat at the table. And within the UN culture, that is taken quite seriously and has been very, very helpful as we have advocated for the Marrakesh Book Treaty and the work that we're currently doing around trying to get a standard for audible alert devices to be installed on very quiet electric and hybrid electric cars.
Would you say then that the Marrakesh Treaty and the work on audible electric or hybrid vehicles are probably at the top of the pile at the moment in terms of the work you're involved in?
Yes, there are a couple of other initiatives, though, that are perhaps not quite as new, but yet have tremendous importance. For example, we continue to help our member organizations as they work with their national governments on implementation of the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. The UNCRPD was adopted in 2006, but it went into force in 2008, so we're 10 years in, and it has been a tremendous aid to blind people and others with disabilities in terms of creating an awareness of the need for civil and human rights. But as with any other piece of legislation, be it domestic or international, it is only as effective as its implementation. So we continue to work on CRPD implementation as well.
Has that been difficult then over the years? Because we've had charities and organizations representing the blind and, you know, fighting for rights, campaigning for change. So does having something like the CRPD add weight to that if it's required?
Oh, it does. So the way UN treaties work, the UN, of course, has no enforcement authority. So it's a voluntary system. And what happens is a treaty instrument is approved. And as countries ratify the treaty, they are saying that what they will do is abide by the treaty, and they will bring their national laws and regulations in conformity with the requirements of the treaty. But there has to be that in-country push to make sure that that isn't just given lip service, but that in fact the country really does change its laws to prohibit discrimination, to give access to education, and all of the other provisions in the treaty. And this is something most people don't get involved in, international treaty implementation. And so the WBU as an international body, we can help provide information and technical support to our member countries. So that's the role that we play.
Have any developing countries then ratified this particular treaty? Because I would imagine that sight loss charities in these kind of areas, you know, really struggle and really need a bigger voice.
Yes, and in fact, most countries today, I've forgotten the precise number, but it's well over 150 UN member countries have adopted the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And there is a reporting system where, even though it's voluntary, it doesn't mean that the UN is passive. The UN requires updates on the progress countries are making toward implementing the whole collection of civil and human rights protections. So a tremendous amount of progress has been made. Now, you can guarantee access to education that is comparable to the access that children without disabilities have. But if you're in a very, very poor country, that may just mean that nobody has much access to education. So equal access doesn't necessarily mean that magically kids in very poor countries will have wonderful education, but it is a powerful recognition that blind and partially sighted children and other children with disabilities simply cannot be left on the sidelines, that to the extent that the country is able to support education, that children with disabilities are in fact afforded equal access.
You mentioned two particular topics, kind of long-term topics then, and the UNCRPD was one of those. What was the other one, Fred?
We have the Marrakesh Book Treaty, and that is going very well. The Marrakesh Book Treaty was adopted in 2013, so just over 5 years ago, and so far we have 40 countries that have ratified the Marrakesh Book Treaty. And I just met with Francis Gurry, who is the Director General of the World Intellectual Property Organization. And they are hoping that by the end of 2019, we'll have a minimum of 100 countries participating in the treaty. And what that will do, Alan, is two very important things. It allows countries to exchange books that are in accessible format. So countries will have the benefit of one another's accessible book collections. But what that will also mean is, taken together with some new technology, children in very poor countries who perhaps would have had little, if any, access to accessible materials potentially could have access to hundreds, thousands of textbooks and supporting materials. So the Marrakesh Treaty is part of building that infrastructure that will definitely have an impact on education and employment.
Some rather big topics there at the moment. What about future topics? Anything on the horizon, Fred, that the WBU is looking at?
We're looking at shared spaces and to make sure that accessibility is planned. Some of that now is taking on new importance with the interest around what are being called smart cities and making sure that they are designed in a way that do not inadvertently create barriers to blind and partially sighted people. All of that is on the horizon. But Alan, I want to touch on one quick thing here, because really at its heart, what limits blind people is low expectations. I was in Turkey at an international festival around Homer and, of course, his epic poems, The Iliad and The Odyssey. And the Turkish Federation of the Blind has done a remarkable thing. They organized a festival where blind people would do readings from Homer's works. And then as part of the festival, we had blind musicians, and these are world-class, tremendous musicians performing. We had a totally blind artist demonstrating his artwork. All of this draws attention of the public, but in a way that then can reinforce the idea that blind people are not just simply people in need of care, but that blind people can be active members of society. And And that's really fundamental to integration.
Is that something which you're hearing more and more of? Do you think that's something which charities around the world have to work at more? That's educating the entire public, if you like, that whole spectrum of people to say that, a blind person with the right support and indeed perhaps the right technology can live a fulfilling life, hold on a job, pay a mortgage, everything.
Yes, and part of what happens within the World Blind Union is sharing ideas on how to get that message out to the public in ways that have the greatest impact. One of the things that we're working on right now is to get a World Braille Day recognized by the UN. And Aubrey Webson, who many people may know, he's totally blind, and he is a UN ambassador from Antigua, Barbuda, and he is leading the effort to get that done. And in and of itself, what does a UN designated day mean? Well, nothing unless we individually in our countries do something with it. But again, it's an opportunity to focus public information campaigns and to draw the interest of the public so that we can then help change those underlying low expectations.
It's almost like the blind need to be seen in a way.
Well put.
Fred, pleasure speaking with you, and thank you for taking the time to join us on RNIB Connect Radio.
My pleasure. Thank you, Alan.